sexy, spooky bones.
Hello and welcome to The Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I am Rolando.
And I'm Johnny, and Amy Madigan should win.
And welcome to the show. This week, we will review Delirium, because it's still Jalo week.
Yeah.
Here at The Skeleton Boys.
Which I was a little confused, but it is, you know, some of it's problematic, but I feel like Eddie Murphy's grown as a person since then. Eddie Murphy's Delirium is a great stand-up special.
Boy, we have a lot to talk about. As always, John,
the movie you watched had no people of color in it.
I mean, Italians are colorful, right?
Yes, they got very colorful language.
Language, tans.
Pasta's red.
Bow tie pasta.
That's what the movie Deep Red's about. It's just about pasta.
I would love that.
It's just a pasta sauce movie.
Dude, vodka sauce. We have marinara. Fettuccine. I don't know. I'm not a pasta person. What do you think of pasta? Let's really get into it now. What's your opinion of pasta?
I'm not terribly, it's not my favorite food. I'll admit that.
Why?
Because, I don't know, is it fair to say, like, I can't eat pasta on its own? It always has to have sauce.
Yeah, why would you eat? So you don't like That's it with a nice vinaigrette or like a pasta salad?
A salad at that point, yeah.
Yeah, you don't do pasta salads either?
No, just because I don't know. I know I'm already a bigger guy, so I don't need unnecessary carbs.
That's fair.
Just give me a pizza. It's fine. I'd rather do that.
How do I say this? I don't really like fancy pasta. Does that make sense? Because I could totally be down with like whatever Pizza Hut makes, the pasta bakes. Yeah. That shit is good. I've eaten a ton of Pizza Hut pasta bakes in my life. So I'm cool with that. I've eaten at Olive Garden many a time, selling spreaded many occasions at Olive Garden.
So I feel like people that say Olive Garden is bad are liars and don't believe in themselves.
It's like trash. It's just like it's the best trash food. Yeah,
it's the equivalent of American Chinese food, you know? It's like, man, I love it, even though, you know, you're gonna go to China and not get that anywhere.
There's always a line.
It's not real.
There's always a line at a Taco Bell almost every night.
It's true.
So it's like, come on, they're trashy foods. I don't know, like, I guess you got to go to Italy and like eat the food there, the culture, and kind of know the differences.
Yeah, and then you can be pretentious for a couple of years and say, like, well, when I was in Italy.
While you're drinking your little cups of coffee with your little pinky up.
Actually, I should talk, right? I've been on a espresso kick since I have an espresso machine.
Yeah. Do you do pinkies up when you espresso?
I don't. Yeah, I'm afraid I'm going to get arrested by the espresso police.
Gestapo?
Ice?
Ice. Alrighty. I think that was probably the most interesting part about Delirium. Mark. Conversation about pasta. Yeah, yeah. But John, you're still going to give us the five words plot summary, and then we'll give our first thoughts, and then we're going to do a deep spoiler analysis. But John, make sure you're following us, please.
Oh, shit. Thank you for reminding me.
Yeah, please. Write it write it down. You don't have to do it now.
Yeah.
Yeah, do it now. Okay. But yeah, like you were saying, you can go to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your podcatcher of choice.
Or my Pokemon catcher of choice. Copy. Gotta catch them all.
Gotta catch them all. I've also been playing Pocopia, but we could do that off air if you want about that. Delirium, John, do you want to give us the plot in five words?
Johnny.
Five words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
Coming in at number three for Delirium, David Brandon, 80s Sean Bean.
David Brandon, 80s Sean Bean. Yes, I see it.
Because he ties in everything we watch him in.
Yeah, very true.
I mean, it is, to be quite frank, only two for two, but that was my five-word plot summary. Coming in at number two for Delirium, clear acrylic shrouds mystery killer. Like 90% of this movie is everything see-through. Where is this guy hiding? And coming in at number one for Delirium, models with a short shelf life. There you go.
Yes. So, John, you recommended this giallo.
Yes.
What inspired you to recommend this food?
I think it was my massive distaste for life itself. I figured everything else is miserable.
Like, I'm a depressed lady, so I wanted everybody else to know.
Annoyed also. this is a very brisk hour and a half to 3 hour movie.
Yeah.
You're not going to find this anywhere except for things that have...
Up front, we should just let the audience know we do not have a pleasant viewing experience.
No.
This is not an accessible movie.
It's like 3 minute to 5 minute ads every
30 seconds.
5 minutes, it feels like.
Yes, so we watched this not through any sort of paid means, so we suffered through a lot of hiccups.
Yeah.
So that might color... So let's say that up front. That might color some of our review. Or not. I mean, I think I got it. Yeah. Yes, and it's also Lamberto Bava, who directed... One of your favorites, Demon 2.
Demons.
Or both of them, right?
The first one too, right? Yeah.
Demons 1 and 2, yeah.
And he is Mario Bava's son.
Mario Bava's son. So nepotism. Yes. this is going right up front.
And it's also like, why did Argento take him under his wing? Just because
he's Mario's son? Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Well, this is a movie. Argento was attached to direct this film, and then they changed the script, so he decided against it.
Did they change it for the better or for the worse? Hard to tell with Argento these days.
Especially because one of the actors, George Eastman, who is really up his own ass about these films, and it's like, it's art in the way Toxic Avengers art, okay? It's not like...
Right.
I don't think the average person is going to watch movies like this and be like, oh, they're amazing. Fuck, I need to own all of them on DVD. I'm Hugo Weaving.
Yes, it's a good video. Yeah, so this movie is the perfect example of when people talk about the film industry being exploitive of like violence, sex, nudity, barely even a story, just made for just to get women half naked and sell the movie principally on that, and don't really have anything interesting to say about cinema. Really, it just fetishizes violence and sex and everything. This is the example that I would put forward as evidence that this is what they're talking about.
100%, because our lead protagonist, I think, like, every other scene is naked again.
Pretty much, yeah.
And then what makes things even better is there's a couple of sex scenes.
Yeah.
And with George Eastman and the lead, I forgot her name.
Serena Grandi. Yeah.
I guess. And there's, like, one where, like, her brother walks in on them having sex. And I was like, is that what they're doing? Because, like, she's basically laying on her back and, like, her legs together, and he's on the side of her, and he was thrusting. I was like, where? I mean, maybe I've never actually had real sex before, but how does that work? He's, like, really into humping her thigh.
Yeah, if anybody knows, skeletonboys@gmail.com. help us understand. Yeah, it's just like it's a giallo movie, so there's like every poor cliche, right? Like, in terms of, it's a murder mystery, right? It's a whodunit, who the killer is. It's focused, you know, protagonist is a woman, and we take a very semi-porn story here where she inherited a porn magazine.
A nudie magazine?
Yeah, she like... Basically like Playboy, right? It's called Pussycat. Very creative with the name. And it opens with a photo shoot in a pool.
Yeah.
And then there's just a lot of nudity. There's so much nudity in this movie that it made me really uncomfortable to watch. Like, I was just like, should I be watching this? I felt like I was watching it on a plane. I constantly have to like check over my shoulder and make sure nobody was watching my screen. Yeah. Because it was just very uncomfortable, the amount of like exploitive nudity and sex. I don't know what you...
So, yeah, well, I mean, quote unquote sex, yeah.
Yeah. Or the turn of the story, right? So that's...
Other than that, I gotta admit, it probably was kind of a boring movie.
Yeah, yeah. We'll definitely get there, yeah. Like, I feel like, honestly, the first 20 minutes was, like...
Sleaze and nudity.
Sleaze, nudity.
Good setup.
good setup, yeah. And when the first murder happens, I thought like, wow, this is actually like so strange. Because it's
pretty, yeah, that's by a pole with a pitchfork.
Right.
Because there's a farm nearby or something.
Unused.
I mean, we should explain. These are like two massive mansions and a guy lives next door.
Yeah.
That is somehow connected to our main protagonist because something happened where his girlfriend, who used to be the main model, I didn't understand. Mm-hmm. They died. She died somehow, and that's how this girl inherited the company.
Yeah, I thought he was something like that. At some point, she takes flowers to his grave, so I'm assuming he died and she inherited the magazine. And so,
I thought it was a lady that died.
There's a lady that wants to buy it for her.
Yeah, but the neighbor talks about how the person he loved died, and she was involved in all that.
The magazine somehow.
It's not terribly clear. They also suggest like this, our main protagonist used to be like the go-to model, but that was like ages ago and it was only 3 years before that. And they're already recreating the photo shoot.
To celebrate her.
And yeah. Yeah, she's ancient, I guess. I don't know.
In model terms, sure.
Yeah, sure.
Sure.
She must have been 23.
Yeah. Yeah. We should probably say that there's a character here in a wheelchair who's like very vertigo, spying on our protagonist's house all the time, is obsessed with her.
And is obsessed with her.
Calls her all the time.
And like even at the beginning goes like, oh, you're so beautiful. No, don't pull down your skirt. It's like, that's the thing I didn't understand. So I guess she lives there, but then they also use that place as the studio, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then he lives right next door and there's a huge pool in between. I didn't understand this setup. I didn't know if it was like, these are apartments. You know what I mean? They're set up like huge houses, like huge mansions, but they share a pool.
Mm-hmm. We should also say, since it's a Jalo movie, there's a dub.
So oh, yeah.
Well, we don't have to get too much into it, but you kind of watched both versions.
A little bit, yeah.
You know, not consciously or anything, but you ended up watching like both versions. I only saw the dub version of it, so we should save that up front too. So
yeah,
there's a lot of challenges going into
David Brandon's
movie.
In this movie,
yes,
and I feel like should have been in more of it.
David Brandon, yeah, who was in our last movie Stage Fright, which we quite liked. Definitely check out the review of that. Yeah, and then, well, let's get into this first murder, right? Because it happens pretty quick. Well, it happened ish quick, where
like 20 minutes in ish, right?
It's actually 20. What'd you think of it? Because I actually thought it was quite stylish and arresting in like how it looked.
Another sort of giallo bullet point is when something is imminent, the entire screen is going to be red or blue.
Yes, which it took pretty much its cues from that. At least in terms of like, and they were actually playing like a really, like, I don't remember, the music of like a certain type of score or music over again.
Oh, it was pretty fucking awful most of the time. It was like clearly they used a synth and it was just one person and one synth. Like they try to do like some sexy saxophone thing. I'm like, I can clearly hear that this is somebody hitting keys. It sounds so terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. What does she, this, what was she? She was like
who?
One of the models. She was the model that was going to be in the cover of the next magazine, right?
Yes.
She was in the
photo shoot because our killer tries to restage some of her more popular photo shoots, but with the dead models.
No, that's right. That's right. The killer uses the protagonist's old photos that nobody has for some reason, but everybody knows about them and has seen them.
Yeah.
They're like, no, the only people that have that. I'm like, are you sure? Because everybody seems to have seen them. Anyway, she's like trying to smoke a cigarette. Somebody jumps over a bush and stabs her with a pitchfork.
Right. But
that's happening,
we should describe that.
Yeah. And when the screen goes red, all of a sudden she's a big eyeball.
Yeah.
Or just like the head. Her head is
a big eyeball. So I think what they're implying here is like, this is, since it's a POV, the camera, right? So he's like lurking around the woods or you know, around the pool. And then sees her, but the camera is the perspective of the killer, and the killer sees her as a monster creature with like a singular eye. Because he does. That's what I interpreted.
Yeah.
Not as a person. He's not stalking a person. We're like in his mindset. Did you like? I don't know if you got that from the bizarre sequence of murder here. The first one.
I kind of gathered something like that. I will say right now, none of this pays off, but.
Yeah, it's only applied twice, and then it's like completely forgotten.
Never explained.
Yeah. He's like, I have two good ideas for Murphy.
One of them is she's gonna be completely normal, except from the neck up, she's an eyeball.
And they're gonna have an eyeball head. Heavy synth 80s soundtrack with.
It's gonna be a huge eyeball head with that's like strained because there's so many veins. It's
like, yeah, I think honestly, sincerely, I really actually thought this was one of the most bizarre things I've ever seen in film. Yeah. Like, just I was not expecting that at all. So when it happened, I'm just like, is this the best thing I've ever seen in my life, or is this the worst thing, or both? It's a choice. It's definitely a choice. It's definitely like
it's.
This is the reason why
can't be described as anything other than a choice. Yeah. You're right.
This is why I made the movie. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really funny because it's not, it has literally zero to do with the plot.
It doesn't. It's just, you're right. It doesn't. What
happens?
What we described is like his POV, but that doesn't, it doesn't really reflect his motivation. Like, right? No. Like the killer's motivation is not reflected in that choice. It's just like this very striking, colorful POV shot or whatever, memorable murder. I don't even say it's that memorable. He just sort of like stabs her and she falls into the pool and it's raining because it's a giallo movie. It's always raining.
And then when she hits the water in the pool, her head is back to normal.
Yeah, she like flungs her head to like a breathable position because she doesn't want to drown. Yeah. So it was very stylized. I give it credit.
I kind of think, just in retrospect, knowing what happens at the end, maybe they should have been like, okay, a big eyeball for one, and then the next murder should have been the head is a big boob or something, right? Like, just the obsession with sex in this movie, I think, would have made more sense.
Yeah.
But I guess Videodrome had already come out, so you can't do vaginas in the chest.
Or naked lunch. Elbows. Naked lunch, yeah. With better vaginas.
David Cronenberg, I have a question. You seem to be obsessed with vaginas and parts of the body they don't belong.
Yeah.
Or maybe they do. Maybe I'm close-minded.
Right. Well, John, if I have to explain my brilliance to you, I would lose the meaning.
Oh, you know what? This explains that sex scene where he was humping her thigh. Maybe her vagina is on her thigh. Maybe. Oh, my God. It all makes sense.
It's true. Okay. And then we kind of meet an investigator. The police get involved, and I don't know.
I keep forgetting that guy popped up, and I kept forgetting he was in the movie.
Yeah, I thought he would play a more significant part. I thought he would eventually be the love interest. Possibly, not that this is a spoiler, but I thought maybe he was the killer too. But
but
he ended up playing no significant part to the movie. He just was just like, everybody just acknowledged that. He's a very good looking detective. Did you look at him? Yeah. And then he was off camera for like 30 minutes and then showed up later towards the end of the movie. No world police work.
If I'm not mistaken, he plays one of the punk dudes that breaks into the theater in Demons.
Oh, possibly. Yeah, I'll be honest. I haven't seen those movies in forever. They're not like fresh in my mind.
Yeah, there's a couple of people that are in that movie in Demons.
Honestly, I would say the other thing that really works for me is maybe the other kill. What do you think of this other kill where we have her brother, Gloria's brother, sleeping with a model. And after he does or whatever, she gets murdered by bees.
Oh, yeah, because he can't get erect.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, maybe it won't. Maybe it will. Maybe try just taking off your underwear.
Maybe just take some of your clothes off. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, oh, it's okay that you can't get hurt. I'm like, maybe just. Maybe you need to start taking your clothes off, bud, instead of getting mad. But I like how she's like, oh, you should just laugh it off. And he's like, ah, you're right.
You're right. I should take my pants off. Yeah.
And I like how David Brandon's character? Roberto. Roberto's constantly like telling Tony, hey, are you going to take her back to the studio? Have fun. It's like he's got a very, there's something a little homoerotic about his character. Like, I feel like he didn't care about any of the women he was shooting, but it was obsessed with Tony.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I completely agree with that. It's the same thing that happened in Stage Fright, right? Roberto.
Oh, yeah, his assistant.
I insinuated that maybe they were a couple because he reacted like he was in that movie that he was grieving a lover. Like, he was very much like upset. Literally, I think the only person he was upset about being murdered in that that whole cat production.
Yeah, probably.
Anywho, yeah, I thought this was actually pretty cool. I thought this was going somewhere with like, okay, cool. Like the story movie kind of sucks. The acting's bad. Script is bad. But at least we'll get some like stylish murders.
Yeah, honestly, because our main protagonist, she was not very good.
Yeah, yeah.
She's kind of bad.
Yeah. I mean, it's barely even a character. To be fair, it's barely even a character. It's a thin character. It says here she was like a sex worker who got this magazine and now she's being stalked by men.
And then that other lady's trying to buy the magazine from her. And
that was somehow a plot point. Yeah.
I guess it just got annoying every time she popped up. I'm like, oh, I don't need this. Just then get past this.
Yeah. And then what's funny is that like we were insinuating this is like literally the last sort of like bizarre murder. And everything else was pretty standard. Her head
turns into it. So the second model is going to be on the new cover of the next magazine.
I think so, yeah.
Which I think what we failed to notice also is they release magazines weekly, I guess. Yeah. Right? Because I was like, how is this happening already? But I guess a month has passed in between or not. I don't know. Did you think about that? How like it's weird how the magazines just keep getting pumped out.
Yeah. Well, that's not uncommon. There's what is that British series that does weekly? It actually has Judge Dredd in it. It's it actually does come out weekly. They do pump them out pretty weekly.
New York Post?
No American Man. There is no
but yeah, I was
2000 AD comes out weekly. Like if you were like subscribing to it, you'd get like, and because of like it's an anthology sort of like, because they do arcs, so it's usually like 10 pages a week and the story continues for like 6-7 parts, so it's not like your standard. I don't know why I'm explaining any of this is irrelevant, but I just wanted, or like even what is it, Shonen Jump that has like some of the animes and stuff, like One Piece and a few other ones. They're weekly too.
Oh my god, that's true. Yeah, One Piece though, I feel like they probably overworked those guys for sure.
Their mangas are like weekly too. So yeah. Anyways, I don't, totally irrelevant, John. It's completely.
Anyway, yeah, she's before she dies, she's only got bottoms, underwear on, like skimpy panties. Mm-hmm. And the screen, of course, turns red or blue. I can't remember. And then her head is a bee, a fly, some sort of flying bug. Mm-hmm. And then she gets attacked by a bunch of bees is what I assumed.
Not the bees.
Because then somebody comes out in a beekeeper outfit. Sort of. No, not even. It was more like a hazmat suit.
Yeah. Yeah. It was both. Yeah, it was some sort of mix of both. Yeah, it looked like both. It's insinuated it's supposed to be like a beekeeper's outfit. That's why he was protected in that situation.
Yeah, didn't
he released a bunch of bees in the room and she died.
Kills her, and when he like stages her body to take the photo, her face is like swollen
from bees. Yeah, that was actually kind of cool. I was okay with that. That was cool. So like I said,
that's kind of the last cool thing we get, right?
Yeah, and then this is where the movie falls off a cliff. Like it's just like. It becomes a boring melodrama, soap opera, softcore porn. It just becomes like totally, pretty much uneven pacing, and just the story itself was just pretty slow.
Lackluster.
Yeah. So if we want, we could just skip to the end and just talk about the you want to just go to spoilers and just talk about who the killer is?
Yeah.
All right, well, let's just go to spoilers.
Wait! No, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into
spoilers.
Okay, I'm also going to say right now, I don't think it was a stepbrother. I think that was actually just her real brother.
Yes, I believe you're right.
Which makes things a little more interesting.
Yes.
But he's obsessed with her and is obsessed with her body and
her in general.
Did all this for her type of deal, but then decided he needs to kill her.
Yeah. Okay. So how'd you feel about that?
I feel like it was very predictable at one point.
Well, I think the scene where he was showing that he was impotent and like you had said earlier, with the model, what you had said earlier about him walking in on her having sex with George Eastman was a little weird too. So he was. It clearly wasn't going to be the kid in the wheelchair.
No.
So they do a little twist where He just remembers seeing a blonde wig in the car that ran over the Roberto, the photographer. Yeah. So I was like, oh, it's the assistant. I was actually genuinely twisted. I was like, wow, that's a surprise. I didn't think it was her. I actually thought it was, well, I thought it was a stepbrother at the time, but it was actually the brother. I was like, well, that's an unexpected twist. Only to have...
Oh, you know what? Why did I barely make the connection right now? Roberto was going to confess to Gloria what was going on, and then that's why Tony, the brother, ran over him.
Yes, because they kind of worked together close, because he helped with the photo shoots, right?
Yeah, so I think that's why he was being weird about... I thought it was like a homoerotic thing, but he's like, are you going to take her back to the studio later?
Okay. So there's...
I was like, fuck, okay, that makes sense.
Got it.
Shit, this movie's actually really good. No, I'm just kidding.
All right. That 10 out of 10. What is that?
Oh, damn. They got me. You got me again, Jello.
Yeah, and I love that the first line he says is like, I'm not a transvestite, but...
I know. It's like, geez, okay. No, you don't like me anymore. That's what he says, right? He's
like, yeah, I know. Okay. You don't like me anymore. Yeah. Which is weird. I don't know, dude. I don't even know how to even distill this into an intelligent conversation, but it's clear. Clearly, you're trying to, because he wears a woman's wig, somehow he's crazy.
Yeah.
Which is, I guess, the thinking around this time about.
Oh, but to be fair, maybe what Bava was saying. Mm-hmm. Is people that do this are mentally ill, not people that are like this in life. So this guy's a bad person, so I'm going to shoot his dick off.
Right.
Yeah.
We're going to punish him the only way we know how, by shooting his dick off. By
blowing his dick to smithereens. And I like that part too. He's like ripping his sister's clothes off, and
he wants to see her body one last time, which is so weird.
And she's wearing just like super sexy underwear, like she was very aware that this was going to happen, but like tearing her clothes off, like for an uncomfortable amount of time too. Mm-hmm. Just like kept like he was just ripping pieces of her shirt off, and then ripped her skirt off, and he was like, oh, I want to see your, what did he say? He had a pretty funny fucking dialogue. It was like look, oh, he cuts her lip because he puts the knife in her mouth, and then is like going, oh, down to your neck, something cave, and going all the way down to your misty rose colored tops mountains or something. He's talking about her boobs, and I'm like, what?
Poetry, bro. Poetry. Yeah.
And then he's like, oh, I'm going to kill you. And then he's like, no, I need to see your vagina. It's like, yeah. Basically what he says. It's like, no, not yet. I need to see your vagina. And then he was on top of her, and he gets up. So she gets up. And then what you see is the POV of the neighbor looking out the window. And of course, like, you know, he's going to shoot him.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, those are like huge windows. So kudos for this guy to be able to open that up without making a lot of noise.
He just always has them open. He just never closes them.
So he can use his binoculars. Yeah. It always like very obvious telescope that goes out the fucking window. Like nobody notices him there. Yeah. And he like steps like into frame, like backwards, like obviously he took a bunch of steps back to get shot.
Right.
It wasn't like, oh, coincidence.
Right. In the junk. Like, okay. And then doesn't die. He's just seriously
he's
wounded.
He's going to need a wheelchair for the rest of his life.
Yeah. So I'm playing what? Yeah, Delirium 2, baby.
Wheelchair.
yeah. And then,
Delirium Too Fast, Too Furious. But I like there's a fake out ending.
Mm-hmm.
She's in the hospital, which is really hard to tell when you're like, I mean, is somebody going to pop out? Because this is clearly a set.
Mm-hmm.
But you see somebody in a wheelchair and you're like, oh, no, he's in a wheelchair. But also it doesn't make any sense. Like, he should still be in the hospital, not fully clothed in an automated wheelchair. Where do you get the wheelchair from? Right. And goes down, and the brother goes through the thing, and you realize that she was asleep because she immediately fell asleep and then woke up, and it was just the neighbor in the wheelchair going like, is it okay if I call you beautiful? She's like, yeah. The end.
Like, bravo.
Oh, I will say I did enjoy when the neighbor shoots Tony and the crotch. It cuts back to him, and he's just like smiling like, yeah, I did it.
Even though he's all been right. Predatorial pervert through most of this movie,
yeah,
somehow he's the hero,
kind of like what was it, Intruder, where it's like the boyfriend who,
oh shit,
is like hitting his ex-girlfriend, but he's kind of the hero.
Damn, dude, we're making all sorts of connections here. This is fabulous.
Yeah. We need to write the next movie that's exactly like all this stuff.
Yeah. What would we call it? Intruder delirium, red, deep.
Eddie Murphy's Intruder Delirium.
Intruder Delirium. We'll be like the scary movies.
Yeah. Which new one coming out soon. Let Can't us know wait. If you want us to review it.
Yeah. Can't wait. Alrighty. I don't think I have anything else to say. Do you want to rate the movie?
Sure.
All right. John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it? Sexy bones.
No, wait, don't do that. Just rate the movie. I'm gonna give Delirium 3 sexy spooky bones.
That's quite generous, and where I would have
gone
to.
Emphasis on the sexy part. I'm just kidding.
I think I'm
gonna give it 2 rose-colored mountain tops.
2 misty rose-colored mountain. Yeah. In honor of all of the fake tits we saw in this movie, I'm going to give it 2 Rolex.
Amazing. I love Italy.
Bravo, brava. I don't know. I think I'm going to go 2 because it's one of those movies that I'm going to have a lot of stuff to say about it because it was impactful in some way.
Yeah.
But
no desire to rewatch it.
No desire to rewatch it. I just mainly just talk about how terrible this movie was.
Yeah.
How
it has really cool moments and then that's about it.
But I will say that I've really enjoyed the sort of new corner we're in for horror where we're finding all of these movies that
and then somehow connected. Like every movie we've seen so far except for Intruder has been like some same actors or writers or producers or
and should continue next week as well. So
yes,
next week will be our conclusion of Jallo Week at Skeleton Boys. I don't know why I'm calling it that. But alrighty. All right, guys.
Flavor of your Jallo is cherry.
Yeah. I mean, these aren't the most definitive Jallo movies. These are just, it just sort of happened, right? Like most of the stuff that happens to us just happens this way. So happy accident.
Oh, real quick. I think before we started recording, I said like I was confused because the protagonist character's name is spelled G-I-O-I-A.
Yes.
And I guess that's obviously it's going to be Italian, but I guess they Americanized it and called her Gloria for the English dub.
Yeah, because in Italy it's called Le Foto di Gior Gloria, basically. Gio-io. Yeah, Giulia. So
it's not
pictures delivery, of
it's
Gloria.
Gloria.
Right, that would be the English. Photos of Gloria is the English, literal English translation, but I guess they call it delirium.
I think, well, it says the English translation is it's not delivery, it's de Gioria.
All right, on that note. all right, guys, girls, non-binary pals, thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky. Hello, goodbye.